Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca.
Torn. That's my message this morning. As you give, can you? I'm an extreme monotasker. I can only do but one thing at a time, or I get really distracted. So I hope you can give and listen at the same time. How many of you men that are married know that you got to listen with your eyes? Okay. Do you notice who is laughing? It was the women that were laughing. You men ought to pay attention to how loud that was. You have to listen with your eyes. They don't want you checking the sports scores. They don't want you reading the paper or whatever. I guess you don't even read papers anymore, right? Paper, what's that? That thing they were supposed to get rid of when the computer came on the scene. Remember that stuff? Yeah, right. It's still there. So anyways, you're pretty well taking up your offering there. So we thank you. Thank you for Dennis and those that did the Fairview service today. Awesome that you guys just keep going and somehow get that thing straightened around for myself. But I'm going to be speaking here this morning, and if we could bring up the message is torn. And welcome those that are speaking to us. I hope you're listening with your ears, not with your eyes on over the internet there. So let's bring up point number one. The Bible is a real book about real people in real situations. Is it okay for me to preach the Bible this morning? I hope so, because that's where we want people to be at. I'm going to preach the Bible, but you're also going to find out a little bit what church is all about. Okay? How many of you know the Bible is a real book, and this is going to be a real message this morning? You know, I'm so glad that the Bible doesn't hide our flaws. And they're so, you know, we don't have to look too hard to find them, but many times we just seem to ignore them. We go through the rah, 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 and we just punch our arms up and we go, wait, way to go, this sort of stuff, you know. But, you know, the Bible, how many know that Rahab had some children? And the sons might have, you know, the children might have grown up going, my mom was a prostitute. Right? Or how about David's kid? My dad was a rapist and a murderer. He was a rapist. What else are you going to call that? Folks, those are real situations, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that today as we go through some of that stuff. How many? I was out at the Teen Challenge grad yesterday, and Steve Paulson spoke, and he talked about Leah and Rachel. How many remember Leah? Remember Leah? How many remember Leah? She was the one that was the older sister but Jacob liked the younger sister, or no, it was Isaac, I guess, whatever that guy's name. I forget his name, but I don't forget it. Jacob loved Rachel more. I'm just going to quote the Bible here. She had weak eyes, but Rachel was lovely in form. The younger sister was lovely in form and beautiful. And the Bible says Jacob loved Rachel. I wonder why Jacob loved Rachel. Must have been about her quick mind, right? Yeah, right. Now you may have a chance to laugh. Okay, let's go over this thing. Is life fair for Leah? Is life fair for Leah? Think about this for a second. She's not loved. Her looks were against her. Maybe she was even ugly. I don't know. She's a little bit tired. She's a little bit old. She had weak eyes. The really funny thing is, I think, that Jacob at the Jabbok, I love that story. When he was meeting his brother, he was very apprehensive. He hadn't sang that song about Jesus, you cancel fear, you silence fear. He was scared of his brother. His brother was going to get him for stealing his birthright. So he says, we're going down. So what he does, he sends Leah first. Says, well, maybe he'll kill her first. And so then all the servants and everybody else, and then out comes Jacob and Rachel at the end of the parade there. So hopefully by the daggers will be all bloody and they'll be all tired of killing people. Think about this, folks. This is Leah's situation. This is a real book about real people here. Okay, and we so often skip over that stuff and just get to the rah, rah, rah. Well, I'm going to get to the rah, rah, rah in a few minutes here. But she was shunned and she was rejected. She was invisible. You know, the Bible says that he loved Rachel more than Leah. Ouch. Can anybody go, ouch? Like, ouch. I want you to just listen to what I'm going to say next to you. It's an awful feeling to be loved by someone, but know you were never enough. Did you get that, Orst? It's an awful feeling to be loved by someone, but know that you were never enough. And it appears, though, that Leah got the last laugh. Amen? She outlives Rachel, and it says in Genesis that Jacob wanted to be bury me with Leah over there. But, you know, she's not as noticeable as David, but, you know, without a Leah, there wouldn't even have been a David. Just think, there's no Samson, Goliath story. Like, there's no Goliath story what would you do in Sunday school with no Goliath stories? I mean, what are you going to talk about? Think about this for a minute. This is Leah, the one that was weak-eyed, unlovely, loved her more, blah, blah, blah. But she really got the last laugh. You know, you can't measure the effect of your life over just one decade. You may feel like you're invisible, may feel like you're just going through the moment, but folks, you've got to go look beyond what you're doing right now. Think about Leah. Without Leah, there's no Levi. And without Leah, there's no Levi. And without Levi, there's no Moses. There's no Ten Commandments. Charlton Heston couldn't even make a movie. There would be no movie with Charlton Heston about what are we going to do with this guy? Think about it. There's no Levi. There's no Judah. There's no David. There's no Solomon. There's no Psalms. There's no kings without Leah. This ugly one with weak eyes that he didn't even want. Without her, none of that stuff would have happened. All the key players in the Christmas story, you know, Mary and Joseph and John the Baptist. There's no Jesus, for heaven's sakes. What would Mel Gibson do without him? What would you do without him? Come on, you people should be laughing a little bit. Holy smokes, you're a tough crowd. Leah was not the hero in the cast at Christmas, but she was the leading actress. You know, if you read the book of Revelation, it talks about the holy city, you know, the heavenly Jerusalem coming down. There's 12 gates there. You know what? That one pearl, Leah, was responsible for half the gates in that city. This is Leah. So I'm going to talk about real people in real situations going through life, and we're going to get to how this all plays itself out here. I am really convinced that we read the book Romans chapter 8 way too fast. Some of you guys are going, where is he going with this one? I like how people talk about how I preach sometimes. You just kind of like kind of goofy and you go around here, da, da, da. And all of a sudden, just like, pow, right there. We read the book of Revelation. Oh, he's like, God is good all the time. I get that. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor principalities and powers, nor things present, shall ever separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. But folks, someone just watched their husband, the father of the children, just walk out on them. Someone's holding a dying baby in their arms and it appears like God's not hearing their cries. Some young boy is trying to come to grips with who just lost his mother to cancer. This is a real book about real people going through real situations. And folks, I love that expression that we're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. But folks, we are human beings. And we live in this world and we have to go through this. And I want to walk a bit through that here this morning as we walk through this thing. You know, Pastor Derek had a beautiful message last week. And he talked about God created us to give physical expression to divine presence. Physical expression to divine presence. Well, you're going to see some physical expression to divine presence. I'm not the divine presence, but it's the Holy Spirit. And folks, we don't want to focus on these things. We want to look to God. I get that all the time. God is good, folks, but here to tell you that we need this is a real message today. And I want to talk about Paul. I can identify with David. What about Paul? I want to, you know, Paul the apostle who was a tough dude there going around. Let's put some human expression in Paul. Paul had some very physical expression to divine presence. Let's read this first verse here in 1 Thessalonians. Can we bring that up? Pow. See how I did that? Still works. Pow. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 17 to 20. Paul wrote this under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But brothers, when we were pardoned, what's the word? Torn. NIV. Away from you for a short time in person, not in thought. Remember that. I'll get to that later. Out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you, for we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan stopped us. For what is our hope and our joy or our crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and our joy. Can you hear the human expression of Paul the apostle there? I was torn. I had an intense longing. There's this stirring inside of his heart. And it's about, he's responding to divine presence. I'm not talking about God's glory and healing power. I'm talking about his desire to see people walking in relationship, in love with one another. And he's torn. Paul was here for 3 weeks and he's torn. And I had to go in person, but I'm with you guys in thought all the time. All right, so just remember that verse. We're going to come back to it for a little bit. But I want you to notice this last part of it here. He goes from being torn, intense longing. He immediately goes talking about heaven. when was the last time you heard anybody talking about heaven? Folks, we should be talking about heaven a lot more, a lot often. He said, hey, and he finishes every chapter of 1st and 2nd. It's basically about the second coming or about heaven. He goes right from the intense longing, but man, you're going to be my glory when we get there. So let's just go. I want to just focus on that theme for a few seconds before we go to Torn. Point number two, can we bring that up, please? That longing, remember he said that intense longing? That longing tells us we don't fit here. Some of you people, do you understand? We don't fit here, but we will fit there. You know that peer pressure my wife was trying to tell me when she was younger, her and her sister used to get on the bed and they'd jump up and down. And I don't know if that mattress moving would help her, but she's trying to get in these jeans. They were two sizes too small for her. It's like, do people still do that? No, they got them stretchy pants. They don't have to do that anymore. Smart people, man, I tell you, those guys are really good. But we're trying to fit into a place where we are strangers and aliens. Hebrews 11 says they're living by faith when they died and admitted they were aliens and strangers on earth. Quote from Revelation, our citizenship is in heaven and we eagerly await a savior from there. Folks, how many know that life is a temporary assignment? Life is a temporary assignment, and Jesus is the ticket home. How many know that Jesus is the ticket home, and the price hasn't gone up or down? It's still the same. It's paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when he hung on that cross, he said, it is finished. What's finished, folks? What's finished? The way home is finished. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Folks, the way home has been finished and paid for by the blood of Jesus. Jesus said, hey, you can come home and be with me now. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that awesome? Well, it should be. You know, we lose sight of it because we're having such a great time in Canada, but we should be having a very exciting time thinking about that. So point number three, our loving Heavenly Father has wired us so that we don't get too comfortable down here. You better remember point number three. Some of you seniors are laughing because you know what I'm talking about. You've been there, done that, bought the farm. Sold it. Now you're a millionaire. Stop that. You know, what am I talking about? I'm talking about God has written eternity in your hearts. Do you get this? You know, you can be watching the sunset over the ocean. It's beautiful. When I first became a believer, I was down in Trinidad and the building the Bible school, and they wanted to take us over to Barbados to help in the church there. Nobody would touch the project, but Harold was a brave guy. So we flew, had me sitting in the front seat. I have no idea, but I think God just wanted me to have the view. And we're driving in this Cessna 7-seater, and there's these pillar clouds in the Caribbean like this. If you're ever from the Caribbean, you know what I'm talking about. Pillar clouds. And Harold, and the sunlight is shining down, and it's just sparkling off the water like just like that, like diamonds, like a field of diamonds. And we're driving around these clouds like this, and I'm in the front seat, and Harold and I are just smiling at each other. And every once in a while, he'd just go through the cloud, bow. It was glorious. Glorious. I've been up in the mountains and you watch. We just walked up, me and Mike Zarin and I, we just walked up and we saw these two mountain goats or mountain sheep and they were just, their heads were going, it was like incredible. Or you see a canola field and there's dark rain clouds overhead and it's just bright yellow with a dark, you know that beauty that's just so beautiful? All of those things, you know, it stirs something. There's just something in it, but it just stirs us. It stirs us. It just keeps going. I was swimming in this thing, and my friend was over there. I said, where are all these people they swim? I didn't have my glasses on. We just had goggles. We're swimming in the coral down in, where were we? Hawaii. And swimming over there, and looked over there, and those aren't people. Those are dolphins. And wow. You're just looking at this stuff. We're down, and my wife loves like space, and we're down in Florida. We're driving over. We forgot about the traffic in Orlando, and we missed the first shuttle launch. But the ground shook, and people were clapping. And There's just so much beauty out there. Heaven's all around us. But then something happens. I'm going to let you in on a secret. Sometimes all of a sudden there's this melancholy. I'll be watching a beautiful waterfall and this melancholy comes in me. What's that all about? He's put eternity in your heart. You're wired. He doesn't want you getting too comfortable down here. So you'll know. You're not home yet, kid. I haven't designed you. I haven't meant you to live here. This is temporary. Okay? Do you understand that? Do you get that? I hope you do. Well, so while we're here, we've got to make the main thing the main thing. What's the main thing? Take a look around, folks. It's people. That's the main thing. What am I talking about? I want you to put it in perspective, then I will. Jesus is not coming back for your football trophies. Okay? The glory fades off those things, folks. That hockey game, big, fat, hairy deal. He's not coming back for the hockey game. He's not coming back. Those trophies are just going to gather in the basement. Yeah, we can have fun down here. I'm not saying that, but I want you to put it in perspective. He's not taking our cities when he comes. He's taking the people of your city. He's not coming back for your business or your bank account or your ideas. He's coming back for people. He died for people, folks, and that's what it's all about. Point number four. Heaven is going to make your best day here look like it's on life support. And you can laugh, but it's absolutely true. And when you get home, you're going to realize it will be worth it all. And there's some folks here right now that your lives are hanging in the balance. You're going, well, I don't know about this church thing. I don't know about this. Folks, I can sense it. Right here, right now. It will be worth it all when you see Jesus. Every trial, every challenge, every victory, every triumph you've been going through. Folks, heaven is not some ho-hum another day in paradise thing. Heaven is going to be a wonderful place. It's not going to be some eternal hymn sing where we're sitting there wearing pink nighties and playing some harp on a cloud. One of the fears the young people have is they don't think they're going to know anybody in heaven. I go, what kind of a lie are you believing, folks? You're going to know everybody in heaven. We're going to know as we're knowing. I can read you verse after verse in Scripture. Well, I'll read you a couple of them because I want to show you that I do read the Bible once in a while. At the transfiguration, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If it's your wish, I'll put up there shelters, one for you and one for me and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Peter knew them. He knew who Moses was. He knew who Elijah was. Dude, I wonder who those guys are. They shine kind of bright. Folks, we're going to know each other in heaven. It's so important that we get that. At the resurrection, Jesus was not a ghost. In communion, we're going to drink again. We're going to know, obviously, we're going to know Jesus. He's going to be the one that shines. Matthew chapter 8 says, I say to you, for many will come from the east and then the west and will take their place at the feast with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Luke says, when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, folks, we're going to see people. We're going to know them. They're going to have a name that nobody else knows but the Father, but you're going to know each other. Folks, what is the number one target of the enemy? Don't tell me it's your bank account. It's not that important. Yeah, it's very important. I get that, but it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is people. That's what he targets. That's his number one target. Why would the enemy target something that's not eternal? It's absolutely eternal. And you're going to know him. Well, we're not married. Of course I'm not married in heaven, but I'm going to know my wife. But in a perfect, pure, spiritual way. Do you think it's worth investing in relationships? I think so, folks. I think so, people. All right. Boy, let's bring up this point by Jim Elliot. When it comes time to die, make sure that all you have to do is die. My wife always says, live without regrets. I've been in funerals in this church. I've done a lot of funerals, done a lot of weddings, done one. And I've seen sons with their microphone in their hand look down at dad laying in the casket. I never told you, dad, that I loved you. And I wanted to stand up and shout, well, it's too late now, buddy. Live without regrets. Make sure it's all you got to do is die. Out of every funeral, At my funeral, I don't know. I'm not planning on dying. I'm just planning on going up. Hallelujah, glory. Forgiven, glory. Looking at my friends here going, glory, we're home, we made it. Hallelujah. At my funeral, if it does ever happen, I hope our people would get up there and say, our comfort is that Jesus and Len have a lot in common. I want to be like him. That's what gets me up in the morning. That's what keeps me on track. I want to be like him. Okay? I was just visiting somebody at Valley View. He's 91 years old. And he says, Len, I have no regrets. God has been so good. And later on he says, I got no regrets. 91, no regrets. You will never regret following Jesus. All right, let's get to the message. Well, that was part of the verse, but let's get to this point number 5. There will be times in life when you are just, well, you're just torn. Come on. Well, no, I want the rah, rah, rah. No, there are going to be times in your life when you're going to be torn. You better get this. I don't know of anybody, yeah. All right, let's look at a few examples. Can I preach the Bible? Okay. A. Here's Paul again saying goodbye and can leave you torn. Amen. Let's bring up this verse. This is Acts chapter 20. I remember this because my wife, the Lord had given me a dream about my wife. She was over in Kenya. And she was back visiting her sister who was the pastor's wife. And I had to speak in the morning and I had to speak. It was a mandated kind of message you had to do. And mine was on saying goodbye. I had to preach on this while my wife was didn't want to have anything to do with Len. She thought I was living in the bush too long and thought I was crazy. Yes, I will put that on the internet because that's exactly how she thought. I had to preach on Acts chapter 20. So I'll never forget that. But things turned around. God hit her over the head with a baseball bat. She still thinks I'm crazy. This is Paul coming back from Thessalonica now, going back down to Antioch. And he stops in Thessalonica. All right, then he goes over, and he didn't want to go to Ephesus, so he calls the elders from Ephesus, and he tells them, guys, I'm going. So here he goes. I'm just giving you part of this. You can read the story for yourself. Savage wolves are going to come in among you, and they're not going to spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise, and they're going to distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard, and remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Folks, there's nothing wrong with emotion. I grew up in a family of all boys. I wasn't even allowed to cry. There's nothing wrong. I don't like emotionalism, but there's nothing wrong with emotion. He told 3 years. When he said this, okay, he did a few more things. And he knelt down with all of them and he prayed. And they all wept. All the elders were weeping as they embraced him and kissed him. Are you starting to see what real Bible life's about, folks? No, it's about, but it's about this too. And I happen to want to preach the whole Bible. Amen. Kissed them. What grieved them most was that, he said those savage wolves are going to rise up. No, what did he say was going to be the problem? What grieved them the most was his statement that he would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. And after we had what? Torn ourselves away from them, we put out to sea. Can you see the drama here? Can you see the physical expression of divine presence? It wasn't about Paul. Paul wasn't operating in the flesh. He was writing under the Holy Spirit. They were responding to what God, the priority that God puts on relationship and people. And on all those kinds, it was just a stirring inside of them. It's part of the adventure of being a believer, of walking in this human world. All right, do you guys see that? It's absolutely critical that we get that. You know, what's the opposite of loneliness? Belonging. Folks, you are not called just to believe. You're called to belong. For heaven's sakes, get into a church, plug in, and start getting involved. Start to meet people. Go beyond your little bubble. Shake hands with somebody that you don't even know. Walk up to them and say, I don't even know who you are. Hello.
Hello.
My name is Lynn.
My name is Marianne.
Marianne, you have a beautiful smile. Look at her smile. Wow. You can't see you. You can see your hair. She got more hair than that guy, I can tell you that. Walk, get it. Belong. Well, I've been here for 3 months and nobody noticed that I was gone. Well, get plugged in then. So people will notice. Stop. Break out of those. Folks, do. That's part of the kingdom. That's part of the riches of divine presence, getting involved in those sorts of things. And they all wept, folks. Paul was on the beach here. I'll never forget that passage. Folks, he has to. Paul has to leave revival after another. He's torn. They're all torn. They're all weeping, okay? So point number B, you can be torn. An eye on eternity can leave you torn. Let's bring up this verse. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And if I'm going to live and live in the body, then this means all of the labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm what? I'm torn. That's part of the physical expression of the divine presence. Paul was torn. Paul the apostle was torn. Between the two, I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. He decides to stay because it's expedient to you. You know the fellow I was talking about here? I went to see him at Valley View. He's 91. I come in and sit down with him, and he says, Len, I want you to do my funeral. I just says, you're not getting to heaven before I do, buddy. Dream on. No way. But the tears started to come, and I'm going to quote you. He didn't. This was last week. This is what he said. There's nothing here to hold me. He's 91 years old. He said, there's nothing here to hold me. And then, as he said that, he looks over. He's got the picture of his children and his grandchildren hanging on the wall. He said, there's nothing here to hold me. Folks, how many of you think he was a bit torn? How many of you think that Paul maybe was a bit torn? I tell you, man, I think about my kids. Hey, I got a son getting married. Somebody said there might be even grandchildren. What? I think about my wife. I think about my friends that I know here and family I have here. And then I think about Jesus. I go, I'm torn, but I'm no Paul. I go, give me Jesus. I'm ready to go, man. Paul's torn. Come on, folks. This is real people in real situation. This is a real Bible. See, the war inside you will leave you torn. You will be torn by temptation. Okay, let's just bring up this. There's some here that's a critical place for you. Temptation will knock at your door. Don't ask them to stay for dinner. There's people here right now that you're in this spot. You're in this spot. You're leaning the wrong way. Can I tell you right now? I sense it. You're leaning the wrong way. You got to go after Jesus. Okay? Go after Jesus. Point number six. Next one. I'm rolling along here. Between good and God, between better and best, you will be torn. Do you notice the stakes are getting higher as we go along in this torn thing? Here's Jesus in Luke chapter 42, verse 40 to 44. This is Jesus. If Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. You think that Jesus was a bit torn? Not my will, thy will. People would come to me and say, Len, you want to look for a wife? You got to do this. You got your pluses and your minuses. You got this game. You got that game. Folks, I didn't want good. I wanted God. That's where the adventure is. That's where all the stuff comes to be. You know, this is the folks, nobody said it was easy. I'd be lying if I told you that. But in the middle of all of that, there's this wonderful adventure of serving God. Okay, point number six. Some things you never give up on. Please, please, this is for somebody here right now. I know that. Paul said, in person, I couldn't be with you. Remember the first verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2? He says, in person, I was torn from you in person, but not in thought. I won't give up on you. I'll never give up on you. I'm thinking of some things you never give up on. Okay? Some things you never give up on. Maybe torn, but you never give up on them. And I'm going to repeat myself here. Let it go, or you will let it grow. Right? Come on. But there are some things you never give up on. Never. Okay, I won't fill in those spaces there, but it's so important. The prodigal father, do you think he was torn? Looking out at that horizon every day, far off. Should I have given him my hair? And shouldn't I? What should I have done? Point number 7. Some of the things you must understand to see clearly through the land of torn. Just going to roll through these. A, live like everything in the Bible is true. Come on, folks. I've been on this journey for 37 years, and I can tell you right now, it's the greatest and grandest adventure I've ever been on. Get your eyes on Jesus. I used to come back to Geraldton, my hometown, and I was all over the world, up in the mountains, staring at my navel in India, and on drugs in Hawaii, whatever, you name it. I tried it. Anyways. And I used to come back to Geraldton, and they'd go, well, what's Len on now? For 37 years, it's a one-word answer. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. It's just Jesus. I'm on Jesus. I'm addicted to Jesus. I love Jesus. I want to be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. And it's worth it all. It's Jesus. I'm an adventurer. I did the Myers-Briggs. Somebody sent me this thing, and I did it. There's 16 personality traits, and it's just fun to do that stuff. And guess what? I came back. I was an IOE1 or whatever. But my big thing is adventurer. I just love adventure. Well, hook up with Jesus, folks. You're going to be in the adventure for a lifetime. It is a blast. Okay. So if you're leaning that way, pick it. All right. B. No, there are some things. There's a time for everything, and everything there is a season. Amen? Come on, folks. I bet you there's a song that comes to mind, not Ecclesiastes chapter 3. He said, son, I made a life out of reading people's faces and knowing what their cards were by the way they held their eyes. So if you don't mind me saying, I can see you're out of aces. I said, if you're going to play the game, boy, you got to learn to play it right. You got to. Know when to hold on. Know when to fold up. When to walk away. When to run. Amen. Come on, somebody. See that? Some of those older people. I know where you've been listening to on that radio. I know what your radio's tuned to. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. Every gambler knows that the secret to surviving is knowing what to throw away and what to keep. Folks, there's seasons. You got to let it go or you'll let it grow. C, you must walk in discernment. Oh, my. Take this job. Move here. It's not always easy. Move to Brandon. Do this. Point number D. We're moving right along here. Be decisive and confident dealing with choices and their consequences. You've got to get that, folks. And E. Be aware of your priorities and stay focused on them. Stay focused on them. Do this. Do that. We're all priority driven, folks. Where do you shop? I can tell you where you shop for groceries by your priorities. You want quality? You go to Safeway. You want a good deal? You go to Superstore. I can tell how you drive to Winnipeg, what your priorities are. If you got a little bag lunch and you're driving at 101 kilometers an hour because that's the most fuel efficient your car is at, I know what your priority is. If you're going there and you're doing 135 kilometers an hour, I know what your priority is. It's you're priority driven. So find out what your priorities are and nail that thing down. All right? All right. Here we go. Last slide. Completely faithful. I got your area? This is where we're going to get to the torn part. And you probably won't even remember anything I said before. Just like them elders at the beach. You'll remember this part. Pastor Mike's right here, and I should be finished by now, but I'm going to just say a few words. And, I was out at Teen Challenge, and I thought about this. God is completely faithful. My heart song. My heart song, one of my heart songs is I Need You More, Lindell Cooley. I need you more, more than yesterday. I need you more, more than words can say. I never want to go back to that old life. But my favorite heart song, how many know you got to have a heart song? My heart song is Great is Thy Faithfulness. All I have needed, Thy hand has provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed. I was thinking, even before I was a believer, God put me on somebody's heart in Hawaii to pray for this drunken drug addict. And they don't even know that I'm a believer. They might be still praying as far as I know. For those of you many know, my wife teaches overseas. And when she came back this time, we've been tossing and turning around a few things there. A lot of things. A lot of balls in the air. I feel like a juggler. I feel like three jugglers, actually. I should be an octopus. A lot of balls in the air. And just walking through some of these things and trying to figure out where we're going with this. And we both come to the conclusion that she has not finished her assignment in the Middle East. So I go, thank you, Jesus. Where does that leave Len? Well, I can't go through. We can't go through what we went through last year. So, you know what? I thought, well, she's followed me for 32 years. It's time for me to follow her. So we've tried to figure this thing out, and basically it's been, what's the best thing for everybody? It sounds kind of noble, but I really think about you guys. What's the best for Bethel? Probably the most unselfish thing I've ever prayed. So, Jacob wrestled with God. That's a pretty good description of where I'm at right now. But I told the leadership, as of my last day in the office is going to be July 31st. We're entering a new season. You know, God works in season, and I think all you farmers out there get it. So I'm not retiring. I'm just in a new assignment. So I know when Pastor Mike, Pastor Mike's retiring. So I'm sure you guys will all have what this looks like. And I'm sure you have it all figured out. So when he tells you, you let me know, will you? Because I don't have it all figured out. I'm torn. Absolutely. When I left the church, I was in Ontario. To come here, I was torn. And that's the way it should be. We should love one another. We should be like that. There's a physical expression to divine presence, right? Amen. That's how it's supposed to go. He was 3 weeks in Thessalonica and he was torn. We've been 18 years here in this pulpit. 18 years. So I'm stepping back. I'm not stepping aside. What does it look like? I don't know why. I just like that thing from Salmi when he was leading Israel. Ebenezer. We don't know where we're going, but we just know thus far the Lord has helped us. So that's where we're at, and we just have to walk with that. It's going to be kind of weird. For about 35 years now, every Sunday of my life has been spoken for. And now I can do what I want on Sunday. Guess what? I can always do what I want on Sunday anyways. You know, we're in a season of evaluation. They're essential for all of us to any ministry, to remain fresh in God's calling. And it's exciting, but when God moves you, you got to be willing to follow. And you have to align yourself with his will. And like Noel would say, alignment leads to assignment. So whatever it looks like, I know I just want to get closer to him. I want to draw closer to him. And I know that's really strong in my heart right now. I know the pastor from the Humboldt hockey game. From Humboldt said, can you trust a God who keeps secrets? He does keep secrets. And can you trust a God who keeps secrets? My PowerPoint for all those that are listening by the podcast, if anybody's out there listening, it says completely faithful. He is completely faithful. If you can't remember anything that I'm saying, anything that I said today, remember, he is completely faithful. He's completely faithful. Can everybody say that together? He's completely faithful. Amen. I'd like to thank Pastor Mike Davis. Part of my assignment was to follow him here. We went fishing together for the first time in 20 years last weekend. 20 years in the same boat. It's pretty cool. I caught more fish than he did. I like to pat Mike Gordon. Come on, folks. Like, we're in good hands. We're in good hands. Our eldership, seriously, we're in good hands, folks. Not that it was in my hands anyways, but he is building his church, and I just want to applaud all that they're doing and all that's going forward there. It's just wonderful. But I got a verse here for you. I know it's a bit long, but I got a verse here for you. I want to finish it off with this. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to thank Mike Davis and Kathy. I want to thank Mike and Angela. I want to thank the elders, but most of all, I want to thank you. This is what church is all about, people. Didn't I preach Bible to you today? Didn't I show you what church is all about? That's what church is all about. It's family. But I like to thank you. And one of the ways I like to thank you is listen to this verse here right now. This is from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is Paul the apostle, the same guy that was torn and weeping and doing all that stuff, right? Showing us a bit of human expression, physical expression to divine presence, right? That's all we're doing. Our hope is that as your faith, he's talking to the people in his, quote, congregation, not his congregation. As your faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand so that we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. So as your faith grows, my sphere of influence is growing. Folks, I've preached in the Caribbean. I've preached in Mexico. I've preached in Israel. I've preached in the Philippines. I've preached in China. I've preached in Turkey. I've preached. How could that be me? Are you crazy? How could that happen? As your faith grows, my sphere of influence is growing. Let's invite the worship team back. There's a couple things here that I want to really focus on in prayer. Could you stand, please? Some of you folks are really leaning the wrong way. You're leaning the wrong way. It's not because I got an insight here. I really sense that really strong. You're leaning the wrong way, folks. You are very close. Very close to being at a crossroads and in that valley of decision. You're leaning the wrong way. You need to lean into Jesus, amen. You need to lean into Jesus. There's other people here I feel very strongly. I mean, you're torn. You got grandchildren. You got pictures on the wall that you're crying out for. And there's some things in this life, folks, you just never, ever give up on. Ever. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? You never give up on them. I want to pray with you. We got some leadership here, I think. I look at this. I see a congregation of ministers. I just see a congregation full of ministers. this is church at its best. Walking in the light, shining the light, being touched by Jesus with skin on. And I wouldn't trade it for the world. Nothing out there. Nothing. There's nothing out there. When you hold Jesus up on this side, there's nothing that can balance that off. He's everything. So with every head bowed as they just continue to play, if you're here this morning and you wondered, well, I think I'm just going to try that church out over there. They heard about that and they're a little great, but you know, and then you go, what in the world happened? It's the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit wants to reach out, touch your heart, and draw you into relationship to this wonderful thing called life of following Christ, of making Him the head of your heart, of stepping down and saying, God, You lead. We sang it this morning. And I don't want to lie when I'm singing. I need You. I need You. Oh, I need You. So if that's you this morning, if you're torn, there's situations and circumstances in your life you're torn, I'm here to tell you, God is going to write over that situation. He's going to write over that picture. He's going to write over that relationship. Completely faithful. Great is Thy faithfulness, oh God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
So, thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.